Thank you. You may be seated. Text verse today is Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Interrupt our series on the nature of God today to focus our attention on a little bit more on the focus of today, Mother's Day. And many of us, I'm sure, realize that there's, even though this is the day that our nation recognizes and celebrates mothers, in many ways, in many times, many situations, the reality does not always equal the ritual. Experts tell us that in the United States of America, it has the most family-hostile public policy of all developed nations in the world. There's tremendous stress on mothers today. Though 40% of mothers are the primary breadwinners in their family, all-time high in America, they still do over 50% of the child care duties within their family. So we're grateful for mothers. And in the verse that I just read, five different things that it says that we should clothe ourselves with, I want to focus on one. And that is tied into my title, Try a Little Kindness. I want to focus on kindness today. That's the issue before us. Because I think the hallmark of a great mother is kindness. And the greatest gift that we can give to our mother is kindness. And really, the greatest gift we can give anyone is kindness. And so I bring you a message today that is certainly applicable to mothers, but it's applicable to every one of us today, of being kind to those around us. Five things that I want to share with you today about how to be kind to others. First of all, be sensitive. Be sensitive to others. Be aware of others. Tune in. Become aware of the needs around you. Very easy in this self-focused society to be focused just on self and not others. Philippians 2:4 says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. If you care, you'll be aware. You see, everybody is having a tough time. Today, everyone, you look around this auditorium, this sanctuary this morning, everyone sitting around you is going through some difficult times in some area of their life. Every one of us have challenges in some areas, just in different areas, but we all have our challenges. So we need to be aware of others. We also, secondly, need to take time for kindness. One of the biggest factors that keeps us from being kind today is our busyness. We are so, so busy. When I get too busy, I really don't have time to be kind to my children, to my wife, or just to anybody, really. Because I'm so busy trying to get my to-do list done, I don't have time to be kind. And when I have my agenda and my goals and my desires, and I'm doing my thing, I've got to do what I've got to do, and I don't have time to be kind because I'm busy. If I asked you this morning, what are the three greatest emotional needs of the people closest to you this last week, would you be able to answer? Think of the three closest people, or the people closest to you. Can you mention, are you aware of the three greatest emotional needs that they have? Be sensitive. Secondly, be supportive. How do we be supportive? Well, kind words. Kind words are supportive. Proverbs 15:4 says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. So we are supportive to people in our speech, in the way we talk to them. How we talk to people can be supportive or in an attack mode. Another way of saying Proverbs 15:4 is just this. Kind words bring life, but cruel words crush the spirit. Many of you are familiar with the Peanuts comic strip. It's my favorite one for years and years and years. I was, in preparing this message, I was reminded of one many years ago that, you remember the little red-haired girl who loved Charlie Brown? And you see in the first pane, the little red-haired girl calls Charlie Brown on the phone. And she says, "Hey, Chuck, guess what? I'm running for Queen of the May in our school." So you go to the next pane, and there's Charlie, and he says, "Well, that's interesting. Lucy has already been chosen Queen of the May at our school." And Lucy's standing right beside him with a big smile on her face, and she's holding her crown. You move to the next frame, and the little red-haired girl says, "Your school has pretty low standards, Chuck." And then the last frame, Charlie Brown turns around to Lucy and says, "She says congratulations." Tactful speech. That may have not totally been truthful, but tactful speech is diplomatic. It's kindness. Thinking about people, about the feelings as we speak to them. So kind words are supportive, but ruthless words, secondly, are destructive. People can be very, very hurtful with their words. The closer the relationship, the more ruthless and damaging those words can be. They can exploit every weakness and rub in every failure and often go for the jugular, and they hurt. I know Mom used to say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words or names will never hurt me." And I heard that many, many times, but you know, I figured out after a while Mom was wrong. She was totally wrong on that, because a broken bone heals faster than a broken spirit. Kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. Your words have a great power to either hurt or heal. So I want you, as we're thinking about this morning, evaluate your words to others, how you speak to others. How much do you support people with your words? Are you an encourager or are you a discourager? Do you lift people up or do you put them down by your words? Do you give them strokes or pokes? Do you nag or do you brag on your children? If you were given a dollar for every kind word you said this last year, and a dollar was taken away for every critical or negative word you said, would you be rich or poor? Some of us would probably be in the hole, wouldn't we? When you belittle people and put them down, you belittle and you are being little. So be supportive, be sensitive. Thirdly, be sympathetic. Kind people share in the emotions of others. Romans 12:15, Paul told us how to deal with each other. He said, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn or weep with those who mourn." I think President Reagan, when he was in office, was a great example of being sympathetic. And I say that because I think he knew how to express emotion. In moments of national tragedy, and we remember when the shuttle Challenger was destroyed, and when our troops were killed in Lebanon, in those instances, he could cry openly with no shame. In a moment of patriotic fervor, when they rededicated the Statue of Liberty, you could see a tear in his eye. Strong leaders are not afraid to express emotion. Weak leaders always have to be in control, and so they always have to control their emotions. And most men in our culture are scared to death or frightened of their emotions, and yet we see probably one of the most powerful verses in all of the Bible, the shortest verse in the Bible, was about Jesus Christ as he stood at the tomb of Lazarus after Lazarus had died. And the Bible says in John 11:35, just two words, "Jesus wept. Jesus was a man's man. No greater man that walked the face of this earth than Jesus Christ. And yet he was not afraid to weep in the presence of others. I did not know how appropriate this would be when I prepared this message earlier this week. But funerals are a great way, and we have one this week. Funerals are a great way to empathize with people who are hurting, people who are grieving. It's a time where we can weep with them. And I know so many people say, well, I feel awkward. I don't know how to handle all of that. I don't know what to do. After being and conducting scores of funerals over the years, you know, I've just found you don't really have to say anything. People don't expect you to come in and give these flowery speeches. Just being there, empathizing, sympathizing with them, is being kind. The best thing you can do when someone is grieving is to cry with them. To cry with them. And you know, I think sometimes, in some situations, because of maybe our nature, sometimes it's harder for us to rejoice with those who rejoice. Because sometimes when people are successful, we become a little jealous, don't we? It's harder sometimes for me to rejoice when somebody else is rejoicing because I may want what they have. And I don't have it. But that's how we sympathize, you see. Kind people share in the emotions of others, but kind people also win the hearts of others. I think of teenagers. Many of us in this room have had teenagers. And the key, I think, as you look at the key to a teenager's heart is sympathy. Sympathy. Everything, you notice how everything is a big deal in the teen years? You know, a pimple becomes a national crisis, right? And being jilted by a girl or a boy is very hurtful at that age. And just telling them, oh, you'll get over it, just doesn't do it, you see. It's not sympathetic. It's not caring. And parents with the best relationships with their teens are those that treat as important the things that their kids, their teens, consider important. You may not like it. You may not have any interest in it. But don't downplay them. When I come in the door, I have a 13-year-old, almost 14-year-old teen, my grandson, who he and his mother live with us. And when I walk in the door, right away, he comes out of his room and right away begins talking to me about the latest news on the Patriots or the Celtics. And I love sports, but he goes overboard. It's my ears are welting by the time we get done. But I find out that's important to him, very important. The thing, kind people, and I want to be a kind person. Kind people win the hearts of others to be sympathetic about what's important to them. Fourthly, we need to be straightforward. Kindness sometimes requires candor and frankness. Sometimes we've got to level with people and tell them when they're blowing it and where they're making a mistake in their lives, when they're going down the wrong road. Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Another way of saying it is wounds from a friend are better than kisses or flattery from an enemy. Psalm 145 says, they'll speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. I'll meditate on your wonderful works. In other words, a good man may rebuke me in kindness. Real friends intervene when their friend is doing something wrong. You just don't say, well, I love you too much to not talk to you about it. No, real, true friends love them so much they must talk to them about it. If you're a friend, you see your friend going down the wrong road, it's your business to talk to them. The kindest thing you can do is to be honest, speak the truth in love, and tell them exactly what they're doing wrong. When you go to a doctor, do you want him to lie to you, or do you want him to go be straightforward, tell you the truth? Do you want him to say, you know, you've got to have surgery or you're going to die, or do you want him to just say, it's no big deal, you might get well on your own? Relax, think positive. Things might turn out. Sometimes the surgeon has to cut you. And sometimes you have to hurt a person in order to heal a person. It's not kind to overlook a problem that you know is destroying somebody's life. If you really love that person, you confront them in a spirit of love. Kindness requires candor and frankness, but it also cares enough to confront. Care enough to confront that mate that continues to violate the marriage vows. Care enough to confront that child or that friend or that employee. Don't let them go down the road and die on their own out there. When do you confront? When is it the wise time, the right time to confront somebody? Well, each such situation is different. Each situation is unique. Evaluate it so you know whether to comfort or to confront. And then lastly, be spontaneous. Don't wait to do a kind act. You know, sometimes we get these ideas, yeah, I need to do this, and we wait till it's too late. When you have an opportunity to do it, and do it now. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. You should be kind whenever you see a need, but especially to other believers, other Christians. Don't delay, in other words, in writing that thank you note. Don't delay in making that phone call. Do it now. Don't delay in making that visit to the new neighbors. Time will go by and it'll be too late because they'll no longer be the new neighbors. Opportunities to show kindness, you see, do not last. Seize the moment. You must do it now as you have the opportunity, because those opportunities pass quickly and you will never have an exact opportunity like that again. As the person said, give roses while people can smell them. Good intentions really are useless and worthless. We must see the need and act upon it. When Jesus asked who the good neighbor was, it wasn't when the man was overtaken by thieves, it wasn't the Levite and the priest, the religious leaders, it was that old Samaritan who took care of the hurts, took him, dropped him off at the inn, and said, take care of this man. They said, who's the good neighbor? They said, the one who had mercy. Aiming to do it just doesn't get it done. So I ask you, as we wrap things up this morning, who can you be kind to this week? A neighbor? A family member? Parent? Child? Someone at work? Someone in the church that needs kindness? Someone at school? Who can you be kind to? Watch what happens. When you are kind intentionally to people, kindness transforms. People blossom and bloom when we edify them and build them up. And this is important because, you see, the Christian life is a life of kindness. It manifests the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Titus said, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, when Jesus Christ came into the world, kindness was manifested, personified in Jesus. If we'll be like Jesus this morning, we must learn to be kind. No matter how many verses, how much of the Bible you've read, how much you've memorized, this principle of kindness is all important. Find a place to serve where you can give out and give back. Do some act of kindness that nobody knows that you did it. Get your joy not from recognition, but from the Lord who will reward you openly. Bow your heads with me this morning. I challenge you to just take these words today and apply them to your lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for Mother's Day and for mothers. The fact is, none of us would be here if you hadn't used human instruments of mothers and fathers. Lord, we know that our mothers aren't perfect. They were not perfect, but they did the best they could, and we thank you that you used them to bring each of us into the world. Thank you for their kindness. We ask you, regardless, for us to be kind to them and to others. And Lord, we thank you for the families who have made this commitment today. Individuals, their families, to say, we're going to raise our family in a godly way. We're going to influence our family in a godly way. Thank you for men who say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We thank you for those individuals who want to do what's right and raise their children in the right way in a world where there's so many wrong values. Lord, I pray that each of us would be like Jesus, that we'd be kind this week, that would be a living testimony, that we'd be living Bibles to a world around us, that each person would find a place of service and ministry to others. We pray for the young children in this church and the young children in our community and those you will bring to this church in the days ahead. Pray that you'll bless them. As we look to the future of this church, the future generation is waiting to be led and taught and molded. Help this church to be like Jesus, to reach out to others. We pray it in his name. Amen.